Today's daf is Yevamos daf Yud Gimel, and we are 6 lines from the top of daf Yud Beis Amid Beis Tonei Rav Bibi Kameid Rav Nachman. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Shmaryo Yosef Chaim Ben Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Zeichet Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha Hagoyin Hagadol Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So we're continuing here in the intense sugyas in the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos. And today's daf is going to focus on the Sefer of the Mishnah on daf Beis. So if we go back to the first Mishnah, the Masechta, really the Mishnah was made up of two parts, a Reisha and a Sefer. The Reisha of the Mishnah discussed the basic halacha of Erva, Tzaras Erva, and Tzaras Erva. The halacha is that if an erva falls the yibum, there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. Not just the erva, but her tzara. Not just her tzara, but her tzara's tzara. The sefer of the Mishnah discussed what would be if Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven was married to a woman that was an erva to Shimon. He had another wife as well, the quote-unquote tzara's erva. But before Reuven died, the marriage between Reuven and the Erva was terminated. So, for example, Mesu, the Erva died. Mianu, she was a Ketana and she did Mia. Niskarshu, he divorced her. Nimtza Islandis, she was an Islandis. Point is that by the time Reuven had died, he was no longer married to the Erva. He was only married to the Tzara's Erva. Said the Mishnah, in all those cases, Tzareiseyem Mutareis, the Tzaras Erva is going to be mutter. And the reason is, as we'll see more in today's daf, because the halacha of Tzaras Erva is the halacha in Hilchas Yibun. Shaloi b'makei mitzvah, there's no such mitzias as Tzaras Erva. And the halacha of Tzaras Erva states that in the event that a man dies, leaves over no children, and there were two wives that fell a Yibum, one was an Erva to the Yavam, the other one was not, then there's a parasha of Tzaras Erva. If, however, at the time that Reuven dies, he's no longer married to the Erva, so that at the time of the Nafila Liyibum, the Tzara is not a Tzara's Erva, then you're not going to have a Parsha of Tzara's Erva. At some point, previously, Reuven was married to the Erva, and at that time, she was a Tzara's Erva. That's true, but that doesn't matter, because Tzara's Erva is a halacha in Yevamos. So it's only once the Yevamos component kicks in that we start looking and determining whether this woman is an erva or a tzaras erva or a tzaras erva or a tzaras islandis or a tzaras saita or a tzaras machzik. Which I'll say, all these things go into play at the time that the brother dies, at the time that there's an afila liyibum. The fact that at some point in the past this man was married to an erva plus this woman doesn't make her a tzaras erva. That was the safe of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah went on and said ketzad on the ratio of the Mishnah. Meaning, what's an example of an erva tzaras erva tzaras erva? And then the Mishnah went on to give us examples, ketzad, of the sefer of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah then added one line, which is where today's daf is going to begin. And that is, the Mishnah said that there were chamesh esrei noshim that were mentioned in the Mishnah. There were 15 arayas that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah commenting on the Mishnah, that when we say, v'kulon imesu oy miyanu oy neskarshu oy shenimtzu islandis tzoreseya mutarois, that line, certain components of that line can't be referring to all 15 of the arayas. In fact, two of the things mentioned cannot refer back to 3 of the arayas. Sounds complicated, but it's really not. Again, so the Mishnah is discussing where the marriage between Reuven and the Erva was terminated before Reuven actually died. Mishnah gives 4 examples of how that would be possible. Mesu, the Erva died. Mianu, she did Mion. Niskarshu, she was divorced. Nimtzu Islandis, she was found to be an islandess, mekachtayis. As a result, the marriage between Reuven and the Erva was terminated. Then Reuven dies. Tzareseya mutaris is no halach of tzareseya erva. So the Mishnah says, reading it inside, that v'iyata yocha loyma b'chamoysoy ube'im chamoysu be'im chamov shenimtzu islandess oishem miyanu. The example of where the marriage between Reuven and the Erva was terminated because she was found to be an islandess, or the example where the marriage between Reuven and the Erva was terminated because she did miyon, cannot refer back to 3 of the 15 arayas, specifically chamoysoy, eim chamoysoy, and eim chamav. And the reason simply is because an islandess is a woman that can't have a child. Now, how is it possible then that this islandess would be Shimon's mother-in-law? If the islandess is a mother-in-law, then by definition she had a child. And if she's an islandess, she can't have a child. Not just that, she can't be the mother-in-law's mother. She can't be the father-in-law's mother. So it's impossible to have a woman that's going to be at the same time a chamoisai, em chamoisai, or em chamav, and an islandess. So therefore, says the Mishnah, that even though the Mishnah said all 15 arayas, im meksu, im mianu, im niskarshu, im nimtsu islandess, and then Ruvain dies, dalachis, saris, em mudaris, obviously when we said nimtsu islandess, it's not referring back to chamoisai, em chamoisai, and em chamav. This is just a technical. No major impact in Allah. It's just a Metzias thing. It can't be referring back to those three arayas because those three arayas cannot be islandess. Additionally, it's not possible for a chamoisoi, an em chamoisoi, and an em chamov to do miyun either. That's also not a possibility. Now the question is why not? And that's going to be the topic of the first part of today's daf. Now the Gemara is going to assume, walking into the sugya, that the reason probably is because who does miyun? A ktana. Only a ktana could do miyun. Miyun is a kula that Chazal gave the ktana that was married not by choice, but rather because one of her kroivim married her off. The whole kedushin was done midrabanan, and being that the whole kedushin was done midrabanan, the rabbanan instituted a kula and said that if at some point she decides she's not interested, that's something she could do. Now, very important, she could only be mamayin until she becomes a gedayla. Once she becomes a gedayla, Pashit, once she's bas mitzvah, at that point she doesn't have the ability to be mamayin anymore. So really, who could do miyun? Only a ketana could do miyun. Someone that's a gedoyla can't do miyun. Now, if you're telling me that this woman is a chamoisoi, she's an em chamoisoi, an em chamov, that means she had a child. A ketana can't have a child. So it's not possible for a chamoisoi, em chamoisoi, an em chamov to do miyun. Why? Because by definition it would mean that she's a mother, and if she's a ketana, she can't be a mother, simply because a ketana cannot have a child. So again, the Mishnah says that all 15 arayas, apoytres sareseim, vitzoret sareseim, and achalitzim and ayibim. All 15 arayas, in the event that the marriage was terminated before Reuven died, the halacha is, there'd be no parasha of tzara zerva. The Mishnah gave four examples of how that marriage might have been terminated. The erva died, the erva did miyun, the erva was divorced, or the erva was found to be an ayilus, and as a result, the marriage was deemed to be a mekach tois. Two of the four examples only play out for 12 of the arayas, because it's not possible for Em Chamoisai, Chamoisai, and Em Chamav to be Nimtza Islandess, because by definition, if she's a Shviger, she's a mother, she cannot be an Islandess, and it's also not possible for a Chamoisai, Em Chamoisai, and Em Chamav to do Miyun, and again, the Gemara thinks the reason is, because only a Ketana can do Miyun, and a Ketana can't have a child. If she can't have a child, she can't be a Chamoisai, she can't be an Em Chamoisai, she can't be Em Chamav. Now, the other 12 arayas work for four. So, the four examples that we have, two of them work for 15, the other two are only going to work for 12. It's a technicality, but the Gemara sees in this technicality a very big chiddush, and that is that a ketana cannot have a child, and that is going to be the topic of the first part of the Gemara. Now, the Gemara is going to begin with a classic Memrim Chazal, which is something that's very much halach l'maisa. There's tshuvas from Chaim Moizer and Achiezer, tshuvas from Kiva Eger, tshuvas from Moshe and Igris Moshe that deal with this from a contemporary perspective. These are Gemaras that go into the sugyas of birth control, halachis related to tashmish amita, in kan mekoymei laharech, stating that, zok de gemara. Tani Rabbibi kamed Rav Nachman. Rabbibi said over the following price in the presence of Rav Nachman, he said, sholish noshim misham shoyis memoich. There are three women that they're allowed to engage in tashmish amita with a moich, meaning they're allowed to have a moich ba'osay makoin, even though you would have thought that maybe that should be a problem. Now what would be the theoretical issue with tashmish amita with a moich? The answer is hashchos hazera, because there's an issur for a person to be moitzi zera levatala. And even derech tashmish, the Gemara assumes that it could be in the event that this zera is not going to have the ability to be moiled a child. So l'chura, the person's being mashchos zera. So if that's the case, maybe it's asur to be mishamish together with a moich. So Rabbi told Rav Nachman, he said, Echab geherta braisa. And the braisa says that, yeah, ordinarily, there's an iser tashmish amita with a moich, but there are three women that are exceptions to the rule. Sholish nashim shamshis b'moich. Who are these three women? A ketana, Mu'uberes, that's a pregnant woman, umeinikin, a woman that's nursing. And he explained, Ktana, the reason a Ktana is not allowed to be Meshamash B'moich, Shemet is allowed to be Meshamash B'moich, Shemet is Aber, because we're concerned if she's not going to use a Moich, maybe she's going to get pregnant. And if she gets pregnant, her body might be too young to be able to make it through a pregnancy, V'Shemet Tomos, and she may end up dying. So because of a Sakona, we're not this Ktana to be Meshamash B'moich. Mu'uberes, a pregnant woman, Shemet Tasa Uboro Sandal, we're afraid that maybe she's going to get pregnant again. That's why Rashi learns the Gemara. Taisus says no such thing. A pregnant woman can't get pregnant a second time. Ayin sham. But the point is that can create a sakonet. For that reason, a muberes is also allowed to be meshamash b'moich. And finally, meinik, a woman that's nursing is allowed to be meshamash b'moich as well. Shema tigmo b'nabiyamas, because we're afraid that if while she's nursing, she's going to get pregnant, she may stop being able to nurse, which may affect her child. The bottom line is, the Mishnah says, ordinarily it's aser for a woman to be meshamesh b'moich, stating that, sholish nashim meshamesh b'moich, ketana me'uberes u'meinika. Now we need ketana. That's the sugya that we're discussing. So says the Braisa, continuing, ve'ezo hi ketana. What's a ketana that's led by meshamesh b'moich? Mibas yiral of shanav yoyim echad, ad yud be'y shanav yoyim echad. It's a girl that's between the age of 11 and 12. Meaning, once she's 12, she's a gedoyla already. So when is she led by meshamesh b'moich? When she's 11. Pachas mikan, if she's younger than 11, ve'yeser al kain, or she's older than 12, meshameshes gedarka v'hileches, then she's not led by meshamesh b'moich, divir ameir. Chachamim meirim, the chachamim say, achazu v'achazu meshameshes gedarka v'hileches. That, no, Yehuda. But the Chachamim argue with Rameir, and the Chachamim say that every single Ketana is allowed to be Meshamesh Kedarko, meaning she's not Meshamesh B'moich. Aye, isn't there a Sakana? What did we say? Shema Tesaber V'Shema Tomos? Min HaShemayim Yirachamu. No, you should have a Tochen, and you should assume that everything is going to work out, Mishum Shenemar, because there's an idea, Shoyim R'Psoyim Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu watches the Psoyim, people that can't watch themselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a special Shmira, and being that this Ketana, she's married, and as a result, this Dine Oino, Dine Tashmesh Amito, she is in a state of Sakana. She becomes muberes, she shouldn't worry about it. That's not a reason to be meshamesh b'moich. She becomes pregnant, everything's going to be fine. She has a special shmir. What do you see from this whole discussion? What do you see from this well-known braisa of sholish noshem meshamesh b'moich ketana? What do you see from the fact that the Gemara said that what's the problem with a ketana being meshamesh kedarka? Why is she allowed to be meshamesh b'moich? It's shema tesaber v'shema tomos. Mid the kamar zok the gemara shema tesaber v'shema tomos. Michlal the ketana the miyaber v'loy meso. What was the lashon of the gemara? Shema tesaber. Maybe she's going to get pregnant, and if she gets pregnant, shema tomos. Maybe she's going to die. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a ketana could become pregnant for sure. I mean, that's obvious because otherwise, what's a sakana? So for sure, she could become pregnant, and it's also possible that after she becomes pregnant, she's not going to die. It's only shema tesaber v'shema tomos. But if it's Shema Tomos, then implied from that is Shema Loi Tomos. Of Zokta Gemara, you see that it's possible for a Ketana to have a child. Imkein, Zokta Gemara, if that's the case, Matzino Chamoisei Mamenes. That means it's possible to have a woman that's a mother-in-law, and the woman will be able to do Mion. Why? Because what would be the problem with a mother-in-law being able to do Mion? Who does Mion? A Ketana. A Ketana, in order to be a mother-in-law, would have to be a mother. A Ketana can't be the mother of a child. Oh, but if you see that really a ketana could be a mother, v'harayu, what was the lashon of Chazal? Shema tesabe v'shema tomos. So that means it's possible to have a chamois ma'amenes. The time we learned in our Mishnah, iyat yochel loymer b'chamoisoy, ve'im chamoisoy ve'im chomav shenimtsu aylenes oishemiyanu. You see clearly that it's not possible to say by chamoisoy ma'amenes. L'chur, why is it not possible to have chamoisoy ma'amenes? Because it's impossible for a ketana to have a child. You see that the only reason we allow the ketana to be meshamesh b'moich is because of a chashash. Shema tesaber v'shema tomos. It sounds like it's not vaday tomos, it's only shema tomos. Shema tomos means shema loy tomos. If it's shema loy tomos, that means it's possible she could have a child, she could have a child. She could be a chamoise, she could be a chamoise. Why did the Mishnah say that loy matzino, it's not possible to have a chamoise ma'menes, and therefore when the Mishnah says v'kulan imianu, it's not referring to three of the raya, it's not referring to chamoise, em chamoise, em chamov. V'chura, it could very much be referring to chamoise, that's the Gemara's kasha. And for the Gemara, emo, I hear. But edit the Braisa, a very, very subtle edit. And that is, don't say Shema Tesaber v'Shema Tomos, but rather Shema Tesaber v'Tomos. What the Braisa meant to say was, the reason the Ketana is allowed to be Meshamesh B'moich is not because maybe she's going to get pregnant, and if she gets pregnant, maybe she's going to die. Chazal held, it's a Chazoko, it's Beteres Vadai, that if the Ketana is going to get pregnant, she will die. And that's why, v'shitosayu, Chazal said in our Mishnah, that it's not possible to have a Chamoisei Ma'menes, because if she's doing Mion, that means she's a Ketana, and if she's a Ketana, she can't be a Chamoisei. Because it's not Shema Tesabre v'Shema Tomos, it's Shema Tesabre v'Tomos. And again, it doesn't change the substance of everything that we just said. Shema Tesabre v'Shema Tomos, that would be a reason she should be able to be Meshamesh B'moich. And Shema Tesabre v'Tomos would also be a reason she should be able to be Meshamesh B'moich. Where it plays in Afkamina is in the Metzios. Could a Tana have a child or could she not have a child? If Shema Tesabre v'Shema Tomos, it sounds like Shema Tomos, but also Shema Loi Tomos, she could have a child. If it's Shema Tesabre v'Tomos, that means it sounds like she cannot have a child. Our Mishnah is Mavur, she can't have a child. If that's the case, Akhti Gemara just change the Gersa to Shema Tesabre v'Tomos, and everything's going to be okay. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bar Levi, in fact, Rabbi Levi said it before. She said, Gvul Yeshla. He said, a Ketana has a Gvul as it relates to becoming pregnant and surviving pregnancy. Before this man, before she turns 11, that was Rameyer's Shita, Eina Misaberes Kolika. She can't become pregnant at all. And that's where Rameyer holds that even a Ketana cannot be Meshamesh B'moich until she turns 11. The reason is because she's not going to get pregnant anyway. Toich Hazman Hazeh. During the year between 11 and 12, he Mesav, she becomes pregnant, she's going to die. The Ubra Mes, and the Ubra is going to die. La'achas manazeh, once she turns 12, he chaya, she'll live, Ubra chay, and her child is going to live as well. But what did Rabbi Bar Levi say? This one line, toichas manazeh, he Mesa, the Ubra Mes, meaning she's going to die, the Ubra is going to die, it's not Shema. He Mesa, she's going to die if she becomes pregnant. The point is, it's not possible for a Ketana to have a child if you change the Gersa from Shema Tisaber v'Shema Tomos. The Shema Tesabre Vitamus, then everything is good. Abafrek the Gemara Eini, is that true? Is it true that a Ketana cannot have a child? Is it true it's Shema Tesabre Vitamus? I'll ask you a kash. Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Rabbi Bar Shmuel had a Braisa. And the Braisa said the Aloha the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, V'kulon, if the marriage between one of the Arayas was terminated before Reuven died, so the Aloha is, there's no parish of Tzoras Erva. And then the Braisa said what the Mishnah said, meaning Kulon and Mesu, and Neskarshu, and Mianu, and Nimtzu Ilanis, and said what the Mishnah said, that Mianu, and Nimtzu Ilanis doesn't work for all the cases, but it said it with a slightly different lashon than the Mishnah said. The Braisa said, and the reason is Shekfar Yoldu, because they already had a child. And the Gemara is bothered with a very, very subtle dik. It's mashma that the reason that the chamoise, the em chamoise and em chamov can't do mion is because they already had a child. And as if to say, once a girl has a child, at that point she can't do mion anymore. Is that the punchline? The punchline is that if she had a child, by definition she's a gedoyla, and a gedoyla can't do mion. Again, very subtle. So why did the Braisa say that the reason she can't do mion is because she had a child? Really what the Braisa should be saying is the reason she can't do mion is because she's a gedoyla. Now, how do you know she's a gedoyla? Because she had a child. But the reason she can't do mion is not because she had a child. The reason she can't do mion is because she's a gedoyla. You know what it's mashma? It's mashma that a ketana could have a child. Norvaz, if a ketana has a child, a ketana can't do mion. It's a halacha in hilchas mion, not a halacha in hilchas metzios of whether a ketana can have a child or can't have a child. So the Gemara asks that we're saying that a ketana can't be a chamoisai. Why? Because a ketana can't have a child. It's not possible. And the right girsa in Rameir of Sholosh Nashim Shamshes B'moich, it's not Shema Tesaber V'Shema Tomos, it's Shema Tesaber V'Tomos. Freit the Gemara from Rabbi Bar Shmuel's Braisa, from his Nusach that he had in the Mishnah, right? The Braisa is very often at different Nuschayas than the Mishnah. And different Braisa sometimes at different Nuschayas from themselves. But from that girsa of Shekfar Yoldu, it sounds a little different than the way we're coming out in our Sugyo. And that's the Gemara's Kasha Eini. Meaning Eini is, up until this point, we're saying the reason you can't have a Chamoise Ma'menes is because Mion's only a Ketana. Ketana can't have a child. It's not Mashma that way. It's Mashma really a Ketana could have a child from this Braisa. It's Mashma, however, that the Ketana can't do Mion precisely because she had the child. Again, we're not arguing and debating the Halacha. We're debating the Metzias now. Could a Ketana have a child or Ketana not have a child? So the Gemara comes out, Elo Loilam Shemet Esav V'Shemet Thomas. Loilam, you're right. Let's go back to Rav Meir's Girsa Sholosh Nafshim V'Shamshes B'Moich. The right Girsa is Shemet Esav V'Shemet Thomas, which means Shema Loi Tomos, which means that a Ketana really can have a child. If a Ketana can have a child, so what did the Mishnah mean when it said, it meant exactly what Rabbi Bar Shmuel's Braisa said. The reason she can't do Mion is Shekfar Yoldu. Let's see it inside. Rav Safra said, because a Ketana becomes a Gedoyla when? when she brings two Sairas, right? This is a very big misconception which plays itself out when you learn Masechtas Nidah and different areas in Halacha, but a boy becomes bar mitzvah not when he turns 13, when he brings two Sairas. A ketana becomes bas mitzvah not when she turns 12, when she brings two Sairas. The only reason we attribute bar mitzvah to 13 and bas mitzvah to 12 is because Rav has said in Masechtas Nidah that there's a chazaka, that when a boy turns 13, he probably brought two Sairas. And when a girl turns 12, she probably brought two Sairas. But it's all based on a chazaka. If we would know for sure that the boy doesn't have two Sairas, he wouldn't be bar mitzvah. If we would know for sure that a girl doesn't have two Sairas, she wouldn't be bas mitzvah. There's a very famous Yamshel Shloimo in Perek Meruba, Masechtas Bava Kama, with the Yamshel Shloimo. He talks about Sudas bar mitzvah, and he says, Ein lecha Sudas mitzvah gedoyla mizu. It's the most chashev Suda in the world, in the pantheon of Sudas mitzvahs. There's no Sudas mitzvah like a Sudas bar mitzvah. Ki yodua. But then he says he just has one problem. What he doesn't understand, and we spoke about this in Masechtas Nidah, is that we make a Sudas bar mitzvah when a boy turns 13. He says, really, when a boy turns 13, you don't know for sure he's bar mitzvah. It's only based on a chazaka, so mehecha teisa, we should go then, and we should celebrate. Famous kasha from the Yamshel Shloimo. But the point is that really, when does a person become a gadol? Zachar oy nekeva. It's when they bring Cyrus. Cyrus is the simen of godless. Said Rav Safra Chiddush. Just like Shtei Cyrus makes a ketana gedoyla, so too banim would make a ketana gedoyla. So banim harehein kisimanim. So the point is, la'olam a ketana could have a child. But even though a ketana could have a child, once a ketana has a child, she can't do miyun anymore. And the reason is because banim is kisimanim. And just like if she was a gedoyla, she wouldn't be able to do miyun. So too, if she has banim, the banim is going to make her into a gedoyla from the standpoint of miyun anyways. And therefore, the halacha is going to be, she won't be able to do miyun. And that's why, lo matzinu chamoyse ma'menes. Because if she's a chamoyse, she had a child. If she had a child, that means banim harein kisimanim. And at that point, she can't do miyun anymore. Istam yisam. Say that banim is not kisimanim, but banim is adifim is simanim. Banim is even better than simanim. Meaning, if a woman has banim, it's more of a simin than shtei Cyrus. My nafkamina, what does that mean? What does it mean more than shtei Cyrus? The filu Rabbi Yehuda. The chiddush is even Rabbi Yehuda Damar, who holds achiyar bashacher, even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that a girl is allowed to do miyun even after she brings shtei Cyrus. Until it's Yarba HaShachar, until she has a lot of Cyrus. So up until that point, Halacha, she's still allowed to do Miyun. But Banim Maid, Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that Banim is Adifim Misimanim. It's better than two Cyrus. But rather, it's like Achi Yarba HaShachar, and therefore the Halacha is going to be, even she won't be able to do Miyun. But the point is, what we're saying right now is that Lo'olam Aktana could have a child. And Afal Pikin, the Mishnah says, Le'matzinu Chamoisei Ma'menes. The reason is because if she's a Chamoisei, by definition, it means she had a child. If she had a child, Bonim Harein Kisimonim, Bonim Adifim is Simonim, and once she brings Simonim, she can't do Mian anymore, so therefore she won't be able to do Mian either. Rab Zvid said a similar tarot. He said, Ein Bonim Beloy Simon. Not Bonim Harehen Kesimonim. Meaning the Bonim themselves are not the Hefts of the Simonim. The Bonim is not what makes her into a Gdoila that says she can't do Mian anymore. But rather the Bonim is a Simon that there are Simonim. Ein Bonim Beloy Simonim. If she didn't have Simonim, she would not be able to have had Bonim. The fact that she was able to have children is a raya that she had Simonim. Now, just to be clear, it's not a raya that she's 12. Maybe she's younger than 12. But Rav Zvid is of the opinion, Zakir Ashi, that even a ketana that is maybe Shtei Cyrus is considered a gdoila. So if Ein Bonim Beloy Simonim, that would mean that for sure she had Shtei Cyrus. If she had Shtei Cyrus, she would be a Gedoyla. And it's for that reason, we would treat her as a Gedoyla. Says the Gemara v'Niftag. So why are we then just assuming, oh, if she had Bonim, she probably had Simonim. Let's just be Baidik. Let's see, does she have Simonim? Does she not have Simonim? Why are we making assumptions? Meaning, really, Bonim in and of itself would not be a reason, says Rav Zvid, to say that the woman can't do Mian. It's just that Ein Bonim Beloy Simonim. If she has Bonim, then by definition she had Simonim. And it's the Simonim, it's the Shtei Cyrus that are saying that she can't do. Zok to Gemara, so why are you relying on a Chazaka? It's something that could be verified. So V'nivdik, Zok to Gemara, Chashin Hashem and Nasha. We're concerned that maybe she had Shtei Cyrus and the Cyrus fell out. And it's for that reason that being Baidik is not really going to help us. The Bonim is a chazaka that there was simanim, and we rely on that chazaka. That's all good according to Mandama that holds that with chayish, that a woman might have had Cyrus and the Cyrus fell out. This is again a discussion of Masechtas Nidah. That says whenever chayish for something like this, so just check, and like this we'll know whether there's Cyrus or not Cyrus. And if there's no Cyrus, that means for sure she's a ketana. Because There's no chashash shem anashu. So why are we relying on ein bana b'loy simonim? It's something that's verifiable. Let's be baidik. So the Gemara says, afilu mandamei chayishin. Even according to an adama that holds that we're not chayish ordinarily, that maybe the Cyrus fell out. Here we're talking about a ketana that had a child. A ketana that had a child, she went through tzar leida, she went through childbirth, and therefore it's very possible that the tzar, the pain of the leida, caused the Cyrus to fall out. As for that reason, checking in of itself is not going to be okay. What then is the reason that we assume she's a gedoyla? It's because ein bonim b'loy simonim. So just to recap, the Gemara that we just learned, in the Mishnah was mavur, that it's not possible for chamoisai, ein chamoisai, the ein chamov, to do miyun. Why was that negated? The Mishnah, because the Mishnah was discussing a case where you had a woman that was a tzaras erva, but by the time she fell a yibum, she was no longer a tzaras erva. The reason is because the marriage between the achames, Ruvain, and the erva had been terminated. The Mishnah gave a few examples of how that could have happened. Either she died, or she was divorced, or she did miyun, or she was nimtza ailanis. And the Mishnah said that as it relates to miyun and nimtza ailanis, it's impossible for that to be true for all 15 arayas that the Mishnah is talking about, because three of the arayas can never do miyun. Three of the arayas can't be nimtza ailanis. Which arayas? Chamoisim, chamoisim, v'im chamov. They can't be nimtza ailanis, because an ailanis by definition had a child, and an ailanis by definition can't have a child, and the chamoisim, chamoisim, v'im chamov by definition had a child. They also can't do miyun. Why? Because the assumption is that a mother is already past the stage where she should be able to do miyun. And what comes out, the maskanas ha-gemara, is that there's two mahalchim why that would be the case. One mahalach is because banim harein kesimanim. The moment she has a child, she becomes a gedayla. And if that's the case, even if she's a ketana, it doesn't matter what her birth certificate says, she automatically gets a din of a gedayla, and a gedayla can't do miyun. So if a gedayla can't do miyun, so it's for that reason, it's not possible chamoisev em chamov to do miyun. Why? Because it doesn't matter how old she is. What do you mean? I thought a ketana could do miyun. Yeah, but once she has banim, at that point, they constitute simanim. It's as if she had shtei sairas, and therefore the halach is she's going to be a gedayla. The second mahalach in the Gemara was not that banim in and of itself is a siba for the girl to be a gedayla, but it's a simen. Ein banim b'loy simanim. The fact that she had children, that's a raya, she must have had simanim. Maybe we were baidik and there were no simanim. That maybe the simanim fell out. But the point is, since we assume that once she has a child, at that point she's a gedayla, either the banim make her a gedayla, or the banim are a raya that she is a gedayla. And again, just to emphasize, highlight this nuance, two mahalchim in the Gemara. Banim hareim kisimanim, / banim adifim kisimanim. That's one mahalch. Or ein banim aloy simanim. What's the difference? Are the banim a siba for her being treated as a gedayla? Or is it just a simen that she's a gedayla? Siba means the banim are the reason she's a gedayla. Simen means the banim are not the reason she's a gedayla. That's just a raya that she's a gedayla. Either way, zok the Gemara vaita. So referring back to the Mishnah discussed the halacha that an erva that falls liyibum is patim and even chalitza. Not just the erva, even the tzaras erva, not just the tzaras erva, but even the tzaras erva. Zok the Gemara minani mili. How do you know that a tzaras erva is pater? Rashi minani mili. Three words. The tzaras ptura. The Gemara wants to know what the makar is that a tzaras erva is pater. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said the amakra. The pasuk says litzrar. It says litzrar. This is the makar to tzaras erva, and it could have said latzur from the fact that it says in the Torah litzrar. Hatayr ribs tzaras harbe. The Torah is coming to tell me that not only is there a loch of tzara serva, but there's a loch of tzara serva as well. If this drasha sounds familiar, it's because this is, of course, the drasha in the grace of Brisa that we learned together in Daf Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara is really just, for whatever reason, picking on tzara serva minani mili, and the Gemara just quoted an excerpt from the Brisa. Ravashi said a different teretz. Ravashi said, you want to know what the makar to tzara serva is? Svarihi. Said it's a svara. Tzara my time asiro. Why is it tzara serva aser? Tibamakam erva kaima. Because she's the tzara of the erva. No, if that's the case, tzara nabi b'makam erva kaiva. So it comes out that the tzara of the tzara serva is also b'makam erva. Meaning, Rav Ashi said, you need a posik litzrar to tell me that tzara's erva is aser. Once I know tzara's erva is aser, it's a svara that a tzara's erva is aser. Because what's a tzara's erva? She's the tzara of an erva. No, the tzara's erva is also the tzara of an erva. Why? Because a tzaras erva doesn't fall a yibum. So if a tzaras erva doesn't fall a yibum, pashup shat, she's now an eishes ach, shaloi b'makar mitzvah, there's no heter on the eishes ach, so it comes out that the tzaras erva is really a tzaras erva. So I need litzrar, the extra resh, to teach me the halacha of tzaras erva. Once I know tzaras erva, I know tzaras erva. Now Rav Ashi's line sounds eerily similar to Rav Kiva Eger's kasha, which is a problem. We're going to get to this in the raid. Zakti Gemara Vaita. Ketzad, referring back to the Mishnah said, in Mesuhein v'chutos. Again, the Mishnah had a resha and a seif. The resha of the Mishnah was the halacha of Erva Tzaris, Erva Tzaris, Tzaris, Erva, the Patam, and Ayibam, and Achalitz. The seif of the Mishnah was, in the event that Reuven was married to an Erva and another wife, the Tzaras Erva, and then the marriage between Reuven and the Erva was terminated before he died, the halacha is, there's no din tzaras erva. This tzara was once a tzaras erva. It's true she was once a tzaras erva, but she was a tzaras erva before the nefila liyibum. We don't care about that. As long as she's not a tzaras erva at the time of the nefila liyibum, that in and of itself is going to be enough that she should not be treated as a tzaras erva. So zok the gemara. Vafilu kines ulubasayf gerish. For the Mishnah, it sounds like, Mishnah's just picking the case of gerishin, let's pick that case, where Reuven was married to Shimon's erva and to another woman, the tzaras erva. Then Reuven divorced, let's just pick that case, the Erva, so that he was only married to the Tzaras Erva, and then he died. It sounds like, from the Mishnah, very, very clearly, that the Tzaras Erva won't be a Tzaras Erva. Why? Because at the time that Reuven died, she wasn't a Tzaras Erva. And they were married together at the same time. There was a time they were married. They were married 10 years together. Doesn't matter. Efilu kines, right, just read the words. Even if Reuven was married to the Erva and the Tzaras Erva, ula b'soif gireish, and then after he was married to both of them at the same time, he divorced the Erva. Still, as long as he's not married to both of them at the time he dies, that's going to be enough that the Tzaras Erva should not be treated as a Tzaras Erva. Faith the Gemara, Akasha, Vereminu, from a Mishnah that's later in Perek Arba Achen. What does the Mishnah say? There's a classic Arba Achen case. Gimel Achen, there were three brothers. Two of the brothers were married to two sisters. Ve'echon Nasri Nachris. And one of them was married to a Nachris. One of them was married to not someone that was one of the sisters. So, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Levi is married to a Nachris. Gireish echad mi balachayes ishtoi. One of the balachayes, one of the brothers that were married to the sisters, divorced his wife. Let's call him Shimon. Shimon divorces his wife. Umeisa nasui Nachris. And then the brother that was married to not one of the sisters, Levi, died. V'kintza hamagarish. And then Shimon, the one who had divorced his wife, married Levi's Yavama, Umeis, and then Shimon died and left over no children. So what happened? First, Levi died, then Shimon died. Shimon had been married to Reuven's wife's sister. He divorced her. Then, Levi died. After Levi died, Shimon did Yibum with Eshes Levi. Then Shimon died, so that Eshes Levi is falling Liyibum to Reuven since Tzveitinmo. Now, at this point, she's a regular Yavama. But there is a tzad Tzaras Erva. The reason is a tzad Tzaras Erva, because there was a time in history that Shimon was married to Reuven's wife's sister. Reuven's wife's sister is an Achos Isha. So there could have been a Havamina, Ben Benoy Shel Havamina, that maybe Eshes Levi, who's now Eshes Shimon, should be also to Reuven, midin Tzaras Erva. Of its mavur in the Mishnah, that she's not. The reason she's not is because at the time that Shimon died, he had already divorced the Achos Isha of Reuven. And it's for that reason, she's not a Tzaras Achos Ishtoi, she's not a Tzaras Erva, it's not going to be a problem. And the Mishnah says, Zu Isha Amru, this is what the Mishnah meant, we're on the base, Shimeso in Niskarshu, Tzarisei Mutaros. That in the event you have a case of Tzaras Erva, but the Erva died before the brother died, or the Erva was divorced before the brother died, that Lachis, the Tzaras is going to be more. So the Gemara makes a not such subtle diak. What was the case? Taima de Giresh v'achakach kines. The case was where first Shimon divorced his wife, who's Reuven's wife's sister, and then he was miyabim Eshes Levi. Then we say that Eshes Levi is not a tzaras achos isha. Aval kines v'achakach girish. But what would be if Shimon would have been miyabim Eshes Levi before he divorced his wife? Then he would have divorced his wife. Why? It sounds like then when Shimon dies, even though he had already divorced his wife, but the wife would have been a Tzaras Erva. And the reason should be a Tzaras Erva because he was married to the two of them at the same time. So the Gemara asks a bomb kasha. The kasha is that in our Mishnah on Daf Beis, it sounds like, when is a Tzaras Erva not a Tzaras Erva? As long as she's not a Tzaras Erva at the time that the brother dies. As long as at the moment Reuven dies, he's no longer married to the Erva, then the Tzara is not going to be a Tzaras Erva. From the Mishnah Arba Achim, it sounds like that if they were married at the same time, if he was married to the Erva and the Tzaras Erva, even though he's not married to the two of them at the time that he dies, that would be enough that she should be considered a Tzaras Erva. So freik the Gemara, l'chur, we have a stira between the way the Mishnah and Daf Beis understands this halacha, and between the way the Mishnah and Arba Achim understands this halacha. So the Gemara says, Rav Yirmiya said, Tavra, Lishan Shanazu, Leishanazu. You have to say that the Tana of the Mishnah and Daf Beis is not the Tana of the Mishnah, L'kaman and Daf, and Arba Achim, meaning it's actually a machloikis. You're right. There was a Messiah, Chazal said that there's a concept that the Kulon in Mesu, in Neskarshu, in Mianu, in Imsu, Islanders, that's enough to say it's Tzareseyim Mutaris. And there was actually two opinions in the Tanam how this halacha plays out. The Tana, the Mishnah, Daf Beis understood that as long as they're not Tzares Erev at the time of the death of Reuven, as long as in the Nafilu, even they weren't Tzares Erev, even though they were married at the same time, nobody cares about that. What we care about is Vas Tutzach Bishas Gibum. As long as Bishas Gibum, he wasn't married to both of them at the same time, that's going to be enough to say Tzareseyim Mutaris. The Tana, the Mishnah, Arba knows that no, as long as they're married at the same time, even though at the time that the brother dies and she falls to Yibam, she's no longer Tzara Serva, that would be enough to say that she has a din of a Tzara Serva. What's the machloikis? And the Gemara puts some very lomdisha terminology to this machloikis. Hain Tana Sovar, the Tana of our Mishnah holds Misa Mapelas, that all the dine Yibam achal at the time that the brother dies. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Umeis, Reuven dies, that's when Yibum goes into effect. So right now is where we have to take a snapshot. Was Tutzach in the Welt? It's there. What's going on in the world right now? She's a Tzaras Erva right now? Done. Litzra, there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. Right now she's not a Tzaras Erva? Then there's going to be Yibum and Chalitza. I don't care about 3 years ago. When is Yivamis in effect? Misa Mapelas. It's the Misa of the brother that makes everything happen, and that's what we need to look at. V'hai Tana Savar, whereas the Tana of the Mishnah Arba Achin holds Nesu'in HaRishonim HaPilim. He holds a very big chiddush. He holds that the Dine Yibum start going into effect when the husband and wife are standing under the chuppah. At that point already, that's when the dinim of Yibum happened. So if that's the case, if at any point during his marriage, he's married to an Erva and a Tzaras Erva, Litzra goes into effect. To what extent? So that when he dies, if he dies, and leaves over no children, Loyalenu, at that point, Allah is going to be the Tzara, is going to be considered a Tzara's Erva. So the Gemara says, Enochinami, Amrav Yirmiya, Tavra, Misha, Shanazu, Leishanazu, it's good diyek, it's machloikis between the Tana of the Mishnah, Daf Beis, and the Tana of the Mishnah, in Perek Arba Achin, and the machloikis isn't just a technical machloikis, it's a machloikis that's oimed berumo shaloylam. Is it Nesu'in HaRishonim HaPilim, or is it Misa Mapelas? Rava said, no, Loylam Chatan, who I disagree. No, it's all one Tana. It's one Tana. Everybody holds Misa Mapelas. Everybody holds that when you look at Yibum, so you take a snapshot, it's what happened at the time of the Misa. What? When the husband and wife get married, Dine Yibum Achal, why would you say that? So we have a stira from our Mishnah, it's Mashma, that as long as she's not a Tzara Serva at the time of the Misa, that's going to be enough. From the Mishnah later, it's Mashma, that even if she was a Tzara Serva somewhere along the way, that's going to be okay. So the Gemara says, Zu ve'ein Tzarech Loi Mazu. That Enochanami, the reason the Mishnah mentioned that case was not because it had to. In fact, it's a lesser chiddush than what the Mishnah already said on that base. But the Tana of the Mishnah does that sometimes. Sometimes the Tana of the Mishnah says things it didn't have to say. Meaning, once you see on Daf Beis that if she's not a Tzaras Erva at the time of the Misa, even if she was a Tzaras Erva during some time of the marriage, that's enough for her not to be able to pater a Tzara, then certainly if she wasn't a Tzaras Erva during marriage, like the case where Shimon divorced the Achis Isha and then he married the Tzara, for sure she won't be considered a Tzaras Erva. And if that's the case, the Mishnah really didn't have to say it. Why did the Mishnah say it? Because the Mishnah sometimes says things it doesn't have to say. Fact, there's a category of things called zu. I'll tell you this. And then I'm going to tell you something I don't have to tell you. Now, why would we do that? That's something we have actually talked about in the past. But there is a concept of a zu, ve'ein tzarech loy mazu. And Rava said, I don't think this is a machloikis. I'm not looking to take this diik and create two yevamises based on this diik. To me, this is just an example of a zu, ve'ein tzarech loy mazu. And if that's the case, Mekin gain weiter. So we're up to the very, very last line of the first Mishnah, the Masechta. And the Mishnah said, quote, V'chol ha'yechol l'mayim, v'loy miyana, tzarasa chayletzes, v'loy misyabemes. So when we learned the Mishnah the first time, it was a little bit harder. Now, 12 dafin later, we understand it hopefully a little bit better, and that is the Mishnah is talking about Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven died, he left over no children, he left over two wives. One of the wives was an erva to Shimon, the other one was not an erva to Shimon. The erva is the erva, and the other wife is the tzara's erva. We know what the halacha of an erva is, we know what the halacha of a tzara's erva was. The case of the Mishnah is where the erva was married to Reuven, but only married midrabanan. Because she was married midrabanan, she was a yechayla lema'in. If she wanted to do miyun, she could have done miyun. So Reuven is married, again, to two wives, the erva and the tzara's erva. The erva, he's married to midrabanan. The tzara's erva, he's married to midrairaisa. So here's the question. The tzara's erva, as it relates to Shin, is she a tzara's erva, or is she not a tzara's erva? So you say, of course, she's a tzara's erva. No, it's not so pasha. It's only midrabanan that she's a tzara's erva. Because midrabanan, two women fell a yibam. The kitana, the yecholah lema'in, and the tzara's erva. But midday raisa, only one woman fell a yibam. Because midday raisa, he was never married to the kitana. He was never married to the erva. If that's the case, the tzara's erva is the one yivama. And if she's the one yivama, there's a zika, there's a regular nefila liyibam. So, what do you have? You have a situation where midrabanan, the tzara is a tzara serva, abe midairaisa, she's not a tzara serva. So what's the halacha? It's easy. Every single time we're going to encounter something like this in Yavamis, the resolution is always going to be the same. You can't do yibum because midrabanan, she's a tzara serva. So, al zanemar litzra. To be potable oiklum, for her to just be a woman that's allowed to marry anyone that she wants, Midei Raisa, she's a Yavama. Midei Raisa, loy siya isha samei sachutza lejzar. So what do you do? You do chalitza. Chaylatzes, vloimis, yabemes. Chalitza doesn't violate any surim. As a result, you're not doing anything bad. So you're not violating the isa litzra midrabanan. And at the same time, once she gets chalitza, so Midei Raisa, she's no longer a shemeres yavam. She is now going to be able to marry anybody that she wants. So again, the Mishnah said that in the event that a ketana, that's an erva, and a gedoyla that's a tzara's erva falls the yibum, the halacha is chaylatzis v'loy misyabemes. Break the Gemara, I have a better etza. V'tamayin hashta v'tasyabem. Why can't the ketana just do miyun right now? And if she's going to do miyun right now, it's going to be oikar her nesu'un l'mafreya. If it's going to be oikar her nesu'un l'mafreya, it's going to come out, she never fell the yibum. If she never fell the yibum, only the tzara fell the yibum. If only the tzara fell the yibum, then the churi should be able to do yibum. So, afraid the Gemara, why are we even stuck here? Right? It feels like we're boxed in. We don't know what to do. Therefore, we do what we always do in Yavamis when we're boxed in. Chaylatzis v'loy misyabemis. Afraid the Gemara, it's not true. There's an etza. The etza is the ketana could do miyun. Let her be mamayin now, and if she's going to be mamayin now, it'll be oikar her nesu'un l'mafreya. And if that's the case, all there is a tzara's erva, without any erva, and she should be able to do yibum. And of course, after learning yesterday's daf, sort of, so we understand this a little bit better, because we saw in yesterday's daf that a ketana could do miyun even after her husband dies. She could be memayin to the yavam. So afraid the Gemara, let her be memayin to the yavam. And if that's the case, it'll be oikar her nesu'un l'mafreya. It'll come out she never fell a yibam, only the tzara fell a yibam. And if that's the case, mitis yabim, zok gemara, lemim, sayyele, rabbi shaya, isnis a raya to rabbi shaya, dem rabbi shaya, sem a menes, mamari, menes, lizzi kasoy. Rabbi shaya actually said you can't do miyun to a yavam. If the yavam does maimer, then she could do miyun on the maimer. But if the yavam never did maimer, then she can't do miyun. You can't do miyun on Zika. We're not going to go down this road now. But the point is this a raya that a yavama cannot do miyun? This is the Gemara's kash. The Gemara says, why? The oilam, I'll tell you, a ketana could do miyun to a yavam. A yavama can do miyun. In our Mishnah, it's different. Because tzara's erva shani. Over here, the ketana is an erva, which makes the tzara a tzara's erva. And if you're going to allow the yavam to be miyabim the tzara's erva because of the fact that the erva did miyun, we're going down a slippery slope. The Tami Rami Bar Yecheskel. Rami Bar Yecheskel taught us. When did he teach us to us? Yesterday. If the ketana does miyun to her husband, so the halach is muteres la'aviv. The ketana is allowed to marry the husband's father. Even though ordinarily a girl can never marry her husband's father, that's kalasai, but miyun is oikid than a son of Mafreya. It comes out they were never married, so she was never kalasai. But miyun be yavam. But if a ketana did miyun on the yavam, which is something she could do, asur lavam, the halacha, she will not be able to marry his father.
Why? Alma, you see, for me, Mishas Nefila Nirz Kekalasa. Because once there's a Nefila Leibum, at that point, the optics are not good. It looks like the marriage was a real marriage. And even though it's true, she could do Mio, and Mio could be, but it looks like the Mio never happened. It looks like that she actually fell a Yibum. So, although it's not a real Kalasi, but it looks like it's Kalasi. Hachanami Soto Riv, Mishas Nefila Nirz Kitzaras Bitoy. Over here, if she's going to do Mio, and it's still going to not look good, and if the Yavam is going to be Miyabim the Tzara based on the Mion of the Ktana, it's going to look like he's being Miyabim the Tzara Sarva, which of course is a terrible, terrible thing. It's an Eshazach Shlovim Malka Mitzvah, Litzra, and for that reason, Zok the Yamara, it's not going to be okay. So you're right, the Mishnah says, maybe Lo'oilam, Kolshi, Chayla Lamayin, Veloy Miyana, there would be an Eitzah to be Miyabim the Tzara Sarva. Why let her do Yibum to the Yavam? The problem is, it's only a Derabanan, because at the end of the day, her doing Mion is now going to allow you to be Miyabim the Tzara Sarva. Looks like there's a Yibum taking place with a Tzara Sarva, which is something that's ordinarily also, even though in this case it's Mutter, because in this case, the Mafreya, she's not a Tzara Sarva anymore, still it's not going to be okay. So really, a Ketana could be Mamayin to a Yavam. She could. Ordinarily, it's something she could do. But to do Mion to a Yavam, which will result in now there being a Yibum to a Tzara Sarva, that's not something that's okay. And we can take a very, very big exhale right now before we continue to go weiter, as this concludes the Gemara's discussion of the first Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos. It really ends a chapter in Yevamos. Now, believe it or not, as we mentioned yesterday, the next several dafin is going to be a breather, pun intended. It's going to be a lot lighter. We're going to get into some Divrei Haggadah related to Bishan and Bisol. I mean, obviously, all from the perspective of Yevamos. So we're not being Masech Das from Yevamo Yavo Yalel. But at the same time, it's definitely a little bit lighter. Zok the Mishnah. So in the first Mishnah of the Masechta discussed 15 arayas, that if they fall Yibun, Poitros Sarasayim, Vitzaros Sarasayim, Menachalitzo, Menayibun, Atzoi Foilam. Zok the Mishnah, we're familiar with this Mishnah already. Sheish arayas, Chamurus Mayelu. There are 6 arayas that are, quote, more chamur than the 15 arayas, Mipnei, Shenesuyas Lachem. And it's because these 6 arayas cannot be married to the Yavam's brother. It's impossible. So therefore, Tzareseim, Mutarois, their Tzareis are going to be Mutar. So let's just speak to that again, even though we've mentioned it so many times. The Mishnah mentioned 15 Arayas that are Poitras Tzareseim, but Tzareis Tzareseim. Those 15 Arayas are not the only 15 Arayas in the Torah. What's unique about those 15 Arayas is those are the only 15 examples of where it's possible that you can have a brother marry a woman that's an erva to his brother. That's only possible in 15 cases. And those are the 15 arayas in the Mishnah. There are a lot more than 15 arayas. But those are 15 examples where it's possible that Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven was married to a woman that happens to be an erva to Shimon. The Mishnah now is going to mention 6 arayas, 6 women that are an erva to Shimon, but it's impossible for Reuven, his brother, to have been married to these arayas. And the reason is because just like these 6 women are arayas to Shimon, there'd be arayas to Shimon's brother Reuven. And Reuven can't marry an erva for 2 reasons. Number 1, because it's Aser. And number 2, Kedushin's not even Typhus. The marriage wouldn't be a marriage because everybody holds that Kedushin's not Typhus by arayas. Arayas is a Chayvei Krisis. If a child is born from a Chayvei Krisis, the child's a Mamzer. And as a result, it meets all the criteria for Eat Fisas Kedushin. So the Mishnah is saying that in the event that a man was married to a woman that was an erva to Shimon, and he was married to another woman as well, and he died, and the erva was one of these 6 arayas, the halacha Shimon would be allowed to marry that other woman. The quote-unquote tzara erva, he can't marry the erva, but he'd be able to marry the tzara erva. Why? Because by definition, if this story happened, that man that died was not Shimon's brother. Because it's not possible for the case to be in Shimon's brother, because Shimon's brother would never have been able to marry the erva. So obviously, it wasn't Shimon's brother. If it wasn't Shimon's brother, it's not b'makom Yibum, because Yibum is only kiyeshvul achim yachdav. So really what you have is a tzaras erva shaloi b'makom mitzvah, and tzaras erva shaloi b'makom mitzvah, we know from learning the first parak of Yevamos. Fazoivai v'zichano at this point is not a problem. So the Mishnah is just saying that there's 6 arayas that are chamures me'elu. We're using the word chamures loosely, but the punchline of the Mishnah is mipnei nesuyes lacherim, because these arayas by definition are married to acher. What does acherim mean? Someone other than Shimon's brother Because it's not possible that these Arayas should be married to Shimon's brother. Because just like they're Arayas to Shimon, they're Arayas to Shimon's brother. It's for that reason the Tzara is a Tzara Sarah Shloibim Makam Mitzvah. And what's the Allah of Tzara Sarah Shloibim Makam Mitzvah? The next two words in the Mishnah, Tzara Sayyim Mutarayas, Gevaldik. That's the Mishnah. So, the Mishnah, what are the examples? What are these six Arayas? The following. Imai. Shimon's mother, Ve'ishas Aviv. Shimon's father's wife, Ve'achos Aviv. Shimon's father's sister, Achosay Me'aviv. Shimon's paternal sister, the Eshes Achi Aviv, Shimon's father's brother's wife, the Eshes Achiv Me'aviv, or Shimon's brother's wife, where Shimon's brother is his paternal brother, not his maternal brother. Either way, Rashi helps us out a little bit with the Metzias, but it's very, very straightforward. All six of these Arayas that are Arayas to Shimon would also be Arayas to Reuven. As a result, Reuven can't marry these women, and if that's the case, it's never going to be a Makam Mitzvah, so the Tzara is going to be a Tzara Sefer Shloi B'Makam Mitzvah, and the Tzara Sefer Shloi B'Makam Mitzvah is not a problem. Zok the Mishnah Vayeter. So, the first Sugya Mesechtes Yevamis is the Sugya of Tzara's Erva. Tzara's Erva, this is Yevamis 101, right? It's the most basic halach in Yevamis. It certainly sounds like everybody holds of the halach of Tzara's Erva. Zok the Mishnah, no. In fact, half of Klal Yisrael, it was a mir of Klal Yisrael, not half. But there was a good percentage of Klal Yisrael that did not hold of the halacha of Tzara's Erva. Beishami matir not Tzara's Lachem. Beishami was mat to Tzara's Erva. Meaning they were not goyris the whole halacha of Tzara's Erva. Beisul Eisrim, Beisul held it was Aser. Zok the Mishnah, Choltzu. What would be if the Yavam did Chalitza to a Tzara's Erva? Beishami poisim on Akuhuna. According to Beishami, a Tzara's Erva falls Liyibam. If Tzara's Erva falls Liyibam, if somebody would do Chalitza to a Tzara's Erva in Beishami's world, it would be a Chalitza. If it would be a Chalitza, she would be a Chalutza. If she's a Chalutza, she wouldn't be able to marry a Kain. Beisul Machshirin. Beisul says, no, it's going to be kosher, it's going to be fine. Aye, what do you mean? They did chalitza. It's not a chalitza. It's a chuk of a tlula. You can't do chalitza on a woman that doesn't fully yibum. And being that Beisul holds the tzara serva doesn't fully yibum, so the chalitza is nitkain chalitza. If it's nitkain chalitza, she doesn't become a chalitza. She's not going to be asked to a kohen. Nisyabmu. What happens if there was yibum done? Someone was miyabim the tzara serva. Beishamai machshirim. Beishamai says it's fine. Or you, the guy, he was mekayim a mitzvah. He did something gewaldig with all the sides of the Ramban in Parashas Vayeshev. Beisul Poislim. Beisul says he was boil a chayve krisos, which means what? What does Poisul mean? Rashi says it means that she's now considered a zoina, and as a result, she'll never be able to marry a kohen. Meaning, this is mamash abilas nos. Snok the Mishnah. Even though what emerges then is that you see that Beishami Beisul had a very different worldview in terms of who's an isha ksher, who's an isha psula. Right? If you do chalitza according to Beishami, she's a psula. If you do chalitza with a tzara serva. If you do yibum according to Beishami, she's a ksher. According to Beishilo, if you do chalitza with the tzara serva, she's not going to become a psula. If you do yibum, she's going to be a zayna. What if they went ahead and did Yibum and then had a child, the child's going to be a mamzer. So, you would think then that Mamish Beishamai's world, Beisul's world, it's not only a gay, a different halachis, like a Beish and all the Beyontif. Right? You Mamish have halachis over, you have mamzerim, drengzach in the gas, in the shtetlach of Beishamai, that according to Beisul would be Rabbeinu Shalaylam. Says the Mishnah something fascinating, which is going to launch the very light daffin that we're going to have. Like Nimnu Beishamai Milisa Nashim Mi Beisul, Veloi Beisul Mi Beishamai. Meaning you would have thought that maybe Beishamai Beisul, when it came to a shidduch, so the first thing you'd have to put on your resume, I'm from Beishamai, I'm from Beisul. Right? You'd think it's a very, very big nafkamina. The Mishnah says, no, it was fine. It was fine. Now Rashi says, what do you mean it was fine? How could it be fine? What's a Beisul's going to do a shidduch with someone from Beishamai? How do you know you're not marrying a mamzer? In Beisul's world, it's a mamzer. So the teretz is, they would notify them. Meaning, they didn't make a gzeira and archaka to say that, being that our worlds are so different, so I'm not even going to trust you. No. You would have to be Maidia, you would have to notify, but as long as they notify, that in and of itself would be okay. Mishnah says in a similar vein, kol ha-tairis v'atmeir shoy eilim ha-tam, so many nafkamidas in the world of tumah v'tair between Beishamai and Beisul, avalei nimnu ois and tairis eilu agabi eilu, they would lend each other kalim, and they would eat with each other. There was shalom and ahava, v'achva, v'reyas, as we're going to see in the Gemara. These were not things that they refrained from. Again, only if they notified them. If they didn't notify them, it's not a hefkevel, avada. But at the same time, they tried as much as possible to be able to get along. They tried as much as possible not to create agudais, agudais, as again, we're going to see. And the Gemara's that we're about to learn, we're stopping a little bit short, but we have to speak at some rate. If not today, then it's going to be Over Zmanu Batel Karbana. So just one festa ha'ara, one foundational ha'ara
as it relates to today's daf and yesterday's daf, and really everything that we've been learning since the beginning of the Masechta. Just a little bit of an introduction as it relates to the Ha'ara. And that is, there's one kasha that in the Lumdis of Yevamos underpins much of the raid. That is Rav Kiveges kasha that we spoke at in the end of Daf Ches. The Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis brought a brisa. How do you know that an erva that falls liyibum is patim and a chalitza and a yibum? How do you know that a tsaras erva that falls liyibum is patim and a chalitza and a yibum? And how do you know that a tsaras erva that falls liyibum is patim and a chalitza and a yibum? And it was all learned out from drashas. How do you know that an erva that falls liyibum is patim and a chalitza and a yibum? It says aleh in the parsha of yibum yovama yovay aleh. It says aleh by the parsha of achis isha v'isha lachoyso loisika chalitza legalos ervaso aleh bechaya. And we learn from there that there's an Isser Eish HaSach even b'makim yevama yavay aleh. How do you know Tzara Serva? Because it says in that word, Litzra is Milosh and Tzara, and it teaches me that b'makim aleh, b'makim yevama yavay aleh, there's a halach of Tzara Serva. How do you know Tzara Serva? So the Gemara said, I know Tzara Serva from the fact that the Torah didn't simply say Lotzor. It said Litzra, the extra Reish teaches me that not only is there a halacha of a tzara serva, but there's also a halacha of a tzara serva. Fake Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says, I don't understand, why did the Gemara, why did the Braisa need a makar to tell me that a tzara serva is potter min a chalitza min a yibam? Once I know that a tzara serva is potter min a chalitza min a yibam, then by definition I should know that a tzara serva is also potter min a chalitza min a yibam. Why? Because if there's no yibam and chalitza by a tzara serva, that means the iser eishes ach that every single yivama has that becomes mutter because of the fact that there's a mitzvah yibam and a mitzvah chalitza, in the case of the tzara's erva, never became mutter. Because she never had a mitzvah of yevama yavay aleh. She never had a mitzvah of kocha yasa lo ish ashe lo yivnes beis achiv. Right? There was no yibam, there was no chalitza. In the vernacular, there was no zika to be matter the isra eish hasach. So if that's the case, she remains an eish hasach. Sheloi b'makim mitzvah, which is a regular erva. Like any other erva. If that's the case, even when she falls liyibum for the second time, she's an erva. If she's an erva, her tzara is a tzara's erva. So, Freik Rab Kiva Eger, once I know the halacha of tzara's erva, I know the halacha of tzara's erva. Because if a tzara's erva is potem and a chalitza and a yibum, that means she retains her iser eish hasach. An eish hasach is an erva. So when this eish hasach, this erva now falls liyibum, her tzara is going to be a regular tzara serva. So without creating an institution called tzara serva, I would anyways know that there's something called a tzara serva. And if that's the case, Freik Rab Kiva Eger, I understand why I need a pasuk to tell me erva. I understand why I need a pasuk to teach me tzara serva. That's a chiddush nifla that you only have in Yevamos. But why do I need a pasuk to teach me tzara serva? L'chura, once I know the halacha of tzara serva, then by definition I would know the halacha of tzara serva. To add to the kasha, Kiveger said that on Daf Ches we learned that there's another Shita Satanon who learned the halacha of Erva and Tzara's Erva from a different Makar. Not from the parish of Achis Isha, not from the Isha Lachis Loisikach Litzra, the Gatlois Ervasa Alabachaya, but rather he learned it from the parish of Yibam itself. That Tana was Rebbe. And Rebbe said, it says in the Torah, Lukacha, with a mapike, the Yibma, with a mapike, it's coming to teach me the halacha of Erva and Tzara's Erva. Whatever the drash is. But Rebbe learned the halach of erva and tzara serva from the fact that it says, ulukacha loy the isha v'yibma. It's from there that I know that an erva doesn't fall a yibam. It's from there that I know that a tzara serva doesn't fall a yibam. Now Rashi, on Daf Chesam Adbei, said that Rebbe, you brought him a car that there's no yibam by an erva. You brought him a car that there's no yibam by a tzara serva. But what's in a car that there's no yibam by a tzara serva? Zok Rashi, a svara. He said it's pasha. Once I know that there's no Yibum by Yitzara Sarva, I don't need a Makar to tell me that there's no Yibum by Yitzara Sarah Sarva. Because every Tzara Sarah Sarva is a Tzara Sarva. If the Tzara Sarva has no Yibum v'chalitza, if there's no Zika, there was nothing that was ever matter the Eshesach. If that's the case, she's an Eshesach in the Nefila Shnia, an Eshesach is Dachan Erva. If that's the case, she's a Pater Tzara, just like an Achazisha Pater Tzara. So Rashi already said that the reason that according to Rebbe, there is no Makar to Tzara Sara Serva. And the reason is Val Ichtaf Neshabana Makar to Tzara Sara Serva. So Freit Reb Kiv Eger, just like Rashi said, that according to Rebbe, you don't need a Makar to Tzara Sara Serva. Because once I know Tzara Serva, every Tzara Sara Serva is Docha Tzara Serva. So why the Braisa on Daf Gimel Amibreis, the Braisa of Litzra, why does it need a Makar to teach me that Loch of Tzara Sara Serva? L'chayre, every Tzara Sara Serva is really a Tzara's Erva. That's Reb Kivega's Kasha. And Reb Kivega blives Tzarechi. So there's one thing, before we even start, that we need to be makdim. And that is, we just learned the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. With the Gemara seemed, at first glance, to mamish ask Reb Kivega's Kasha. Right? The Gemara said, very, very short Gemara. A Gemara that gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. The Gemara said, Ketzad Poitzer Tzarechim V'chulu. And Rashi says, what does it mean, Ketzad Poitzer Tzarechim? How do you know? And the Gemara says, Minani Mili. How do you know that? So Rashi says, what does it mean, Minani Mili? How do you know that Tzarech Sarasa Petura? Gemara asks, how do you know Tzarech Saras Pata? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Amakra the Pasuk says, Litzra. Hatayra Ripsa Tzarech Harbe. Learned that from Litzra. In other words, the Brisa and Afgimel Amid Beis. Ravashi, Amar Ravashi said, Svari, it's a Svara. Tzara, my time Asira, why is a Tzara Serva also the B'makam Erevakayim? Because she's a Tzara Serva. No, Tzara Sara, Nabi B'makam Erevakayim. Every Tzara Sara is really a Tzara Serva. So you have to wait until Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph to find out that Ravashi asked Rav Kivega's Kasha? Is that true? Now, if Ravashi is saying Rav Kivega's Svara, it's not the end of the world. Because Rav Kivega is still asking a Kasha. He's asking that Ravashi is so poshit that why is it Ravashi and Rav Yehuda? And why do we not become acquainted with Ravashi until the end of the sugya and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph? It doesn't completely knock out Rav Kivega's Kasha. Oh, but the G'dayle Rosh Yeshivas, all time that Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, as he cannot sign that Rav Kivega's Kasha is Ravashi's Svara. You know why? Because Rav Kivega didn't quote Ravashi. If Rav Kivega's Kasha was Ravashi, he would have quoted Ravashi. What did Rav Kivega quote? Rashi, not Ravashi. Rashi on Daf Ches Amud Beis. He said that Rashi already spoke out my svara when Rashi was being Masber Rebbe. Rav Kivega said, I'm not being Mechadosh a svara. I'm just telling you what Rashi already spoke out when he was being Masber Shitas Rebbe. L'chay Rav Kivega vol kedav zogen asach besser. Rav Kivega vol kedav zogen it's Shitas Ravashi. And if that's the case, what's Pshat in Rav Yehuda? What's Pshat in this? What's Pshat in that? There's all Bekasha. Of if Rav Kiva Eger, where every single word of Rav Kiva Eger is gold, if he didn't quote Rav Ashi, that means Rav Kiva Eger never had a Havamina to say Rav Ashi's Svar. And the emes is, if you think about it, it's not what Rav Ashi is saying. Because Rav Ashi says what? It's so subtle. Of it's gewaldig. Rav Ashi said Svarahi. It's a Svarah. Rav Kiva Eger is not asking a Kasha from Svarah. Rav Kivega is saying to the Zalbazach, "Is that svara? What's a svara?" Right? The Gemara sometimes will say, "Lamali kra svaruhu." Why do I need a pasuk to tell me? Hamoitze mechaveri olav araya. It's a svara. Hamoitze mechaveri olav araya. Right? Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that you're supposed to make a bracha before you eat? That's a svara that you make a bracha before you eat. A svara is leichazach. A svara means I'm saying a svara. What's a svara? You start throwing your thumbs all over the place. You have a hakira. You start spitting. Right? That's a svara. That's what a svara is. It's not a svara. It's he. It's the Zalbazach. I don't need a svara. A svara is another step. It's punk, not a pasuk. It's not a drash. It's a svara. It's not svarahi. Rav Kivega held that svara sounds like it's another shlav. It's not another shlav. Rav Kivega is saying that if I know tzara serva, then I know tzara tzara serva. Not me svara. Because there's no, it is a tzara serva. Does the Gemara need to speak out every example of Tzara's Erva? No, of course not. Because once I know Tzara's Erva, Tein L'chochem V'yach Gamoid. You have a case of a Tzara's Erva, B'seidi, you're done. That's your case of Tzara's Erva. If a Tzara's Erva is really a Tzara's Erva, then I don't need a Gemara, Mitasvara, to tell me why Tzara's Erva is awesome. Tzara's Erva is awesome because it's Tzara's Erva. It's the same thing. It's not another step.
Regardless, it's muchach from Rav Kiva Eger that Rav Kiva Eger was not saying Rav Ashi's Svara, because he never made mention of Rav Ashi's Svara. Why not? So that's already the income of Kaimelach. But let's go back to Rav Kiva Eger's cash. Fake Rav Kiva Eger. Why do I need Litzra? Why do I need the extra Reish to tell me that it's Tzara's Erev is Aser? L'chayr, once I know that it's Tzara's Erev is Aser, Memela I know that it's Tzara's Erev is Aser, and not even me Svara. L'shoyne hazav shel gedoyle achroinim. So the zelbazach. And if that's the case, I don't need a posik like Rav Yehuda said. I don't need a svara like Rav Ashi said. L'chayr, every single tzara servo is a tzara servo. So there's many mahalchim to answer this kasha, but there's one predominant mahalch, and this mahalch requires a tiny bit of an introduction. That is Tosfos on Daf Yudam and Aleph. It's a long Tosfos. Asks a bomba kasha. The Mishnah mentioned Chamesh Esrei Noshim, Poitros Tzoreseim, Vitzoreis Tzoreseim, and Achalitzim Ra'ivim. And the Mishnah listed all 15 Arayas that had the ability to pat the Tzor. The Gemara brought different Amoiroim that tried finding a 16th Erva. Amalei Levi L'Rebbe. Levi told Rebbe, L'chayr, I have a 16th Erva. Imay Anus HaSavim, how come it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah? Rebbe didn't like the question, not even a little bit. He said, K'meduma Ani She'en Lo'y Mayach B'Kakada. But either way, Rebbe said, Imay Anus HaSaviv is definitely not an erva that belongs in the Mishnah. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. He told him, I have a 16th erva that I believe could have mentioned in the Mishnah. Hachaylitz liyavimtai, v'chaza v'kitcha, umeis b'leibanim, based on the loisasei of kimen shalaybanish of v'yivna. And Rabbi Yochanan told Rish Lakish whatever he told Rish Lakish. Tosfos on Daf Yudam and Aleph says that I have another case. I have a 16th. Not Levi's, not Rish Lakish's. I have a 16th. This is a real Yavamis case. The case is, what would happen if a man was married, he gave his wife a get. He gave his, wife a get ala tanai. It was done on the condition. The condition was, haret megureshes, you're divorced, al tanai that you don't marry plainly. You don't marry a certain person. You marry this person, then I'm pulling back the get. It's going to come out with my freya, you're an eshes ish. It's not a get. The get will not be cham. Now, to machlokes tanoim, in the end of Masechtas Get, in a Berak HaMegarish, whether a man could give a get like this or not. Believe it or not, there are shittas that hold. It is a kosher a get. Frey Tosfos, what would be if somebody divorced his wife? And he said, Harat Migureshes al menas shaloti nasi le'ish ploini. On the condition that you don't marry Ploini. And then she went ahead and she married Ploini's brother. And then Ploini's brother died, left over no children. She fell a yibum. To who? To the man that she's not allowed to marry. The man that if she marries, it's going to be Igloi Milsal, I'm afraid, that the get is out. And as a result, she's now going to be an Eishas Ish. So what's the halacha? Could he do yibum or could he not do yibum? Zok Tosfos, Pashut, he can't do yibum. She's an Eishas Ish. Not just that, no chalitza either. Why? Well, she's an Eishas Ish. Allah, Allah. Eishas Ish is an erva, and as a result, there'd be no yibum, no chalitza. Zok Tosfos, if there was another wife, if Reuven, when he died, left over a tzara, the tzara would be a tzara erva. So if that's the case, Frey Tosfos, for listening to Zayin, I have a 16th erva that could have been mentioned in the Mishnah. What's the erva? Eishas Ish. Eishas Ish, how can Eishas Ish fall a yibum? Yibum means the man died, she's an almana, by definition. How is it possible? Tosfos came up with a festa academic example of how it's possible that an Eishas Ish could fall a yibum. And if that's the case, an Eishas Ish is an erva, it's part of the hekish of all the arayas, it's l'chari iske shlachis isha, and if that's the case, it's chapater atzara, azoy frey Tosfos akasha. So Tosfos has a whole arichos, and what comes out from Tosfos arichos is that me'ezatam, ayin sham, Eishas Ish would not have the ability to pater a tzar. And it's for that reason, says Tosfos, it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. Because it's true, this woman herself, the quote-unquote Eishas Ish, will be potem in a yibum and will be potem in a chalitza. But at the same time, her tzara will not be potem in a yibum and chalitza, and that's why it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. In other words, what emerges from Tosfos, this is what we need, is that there's a hecha timtza, where you can have a woman who's going to fall a yibum, she's going to be an erva, so that she herself will be patim in a yibum and a chalitza. However, if there was a tzara, the tzara won't be a tzara's erva. How's that possible? It's almost impossible to find such a case, because it's keneged the most important sugi in the whole masachta. Chamesh esrei noshim poitros tzoreis sein. The teretz is this case, where the man was married to a woman that if she would marry his brother would knock out the marriage. He died. She fell now as a Yavama. She's an Eishes Ish to the Yavam. And like Tosa speaks out on Daf Yud, this Erva, for whatever reason, doesn't have the ability to pater the Tzar. So she's an Erva. She's pater min Yibam min Chalitza. But as it relates to the Erva is not going to be pater min Chalitza or min Yibam. Rabbarch Ber, in Birch Shmuel, Simon Beis, right here in Masechtas Yavamis, says that his Lashon is that Vihine, Umikfar Hayomim, there were many, many men. It's already Shengelein a long time that Shalti P Moir V'Rabbi Ktoish Yisrael Zeichet Tzadik V'Kadosh Lavracha. Reb Chaim, he said he once asked Reb Chaim the following question. He said it comes out from Tosfos that this Eishes Ish that falls the Yibum is going to be Potem and Yibum and a Chalitza, but her Tzara is not going to be Potem and Yibum Chalitza. Why? Like Tosfos says, because Eishes Ish doesn't have the ability to Potem Tzara, and that's why Eishes Ish was mentioned in the Mishnah. Over Rabbi Chaver asked Reb Chaim, I hear Tosfos Lamdas, but I don't understand Tosfos Halacha. At the end of the day, if this woman, when she falls the Yibum, doesn't have a mitzvah Yibum, because she's an Eishes Ish, that means there's no Zika. If there's no Zika, there's nothing being matter her Eishes Ach. If there's nothing being matter her Eishes Ach, Freik Rabaruch Ber, then the Tzara should weiter be a Tzara Serva. Not a Tzara Eishes Ish, that Tosha said is not considered a Tzara Serva. Oh, but Tzara Eishes Ach, Shaloi B'maka Mitzvah. And Eishes Ach Shaloi B'maka Mitzvah, we know, has the ability to pater a Tzara. Eishes Ach Me'imai, Eishes Ach Shaloi Hayabai Lamai. So Freik Rabaruch Ber says, the Umikvar Hayomim Sha'alti. He says, Achar Langet Zeit Zirik Habich Gefreik Rab Chaim. He said, I never understood this Tosfos. He says, Tosfos says over here that the Tzara of the Eishes Ish is going to be a woman that you could do Yibum. She's not going to be a Tzara Zerva. Tosfos was saying it mitzad the Erva of Eishes Ish. Oh, but Tosfos is saying it Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa can't be true. Because even if she's not a Tzara Zerva mitzad the Erva of Eishes Ish, oh, but Frank or Baruch Be, she should be a Tzara Zerva mitzad the Erva of Eishes Ach. So Baruch Be said, the Reb Chaim told me a Yisoy that's known in Yeshiva as, quote, Eishes Ach the Memela. Chaim told me that this Eishes Ach doesn't have the ability to pater a Tzara. And the reason is, because the only time an Erva has the ability to pater a Tzara is if the reason there's no Yibum and Chalitza is because the woman's an Erva. So you have a woman, right now that falls the Yibum. There should be a mitzvah Yivama Yavayala. She's an Erva. That's why there's no Yivama Yavayala. What kind of Erva? Any one of the 15 arayis that I mentioned in the Mishnah. Achoy, Zisho, Bitoy, Bas, Bitoy, Basfano, Chamoyse, Imchamoyse, Imchamob, whatever the Erva was. Then there's a halacha that if the Erva is the Siba, why there's no Yibum, that Erva also patters the Tzar. That's the drosha of Tzara's Erva. But what happens if a woman falls the Yibum, and the reason there's no Yibum is not because she's an Erva. The reason there's no Yibum is for some Dovrit study. It just so happens that because of the fact that there's no Yibum, the Memela, she has the Isser Eishes Ach. Because that Isser Eishes Ach that ordinarily would shaft the Yibum, would be the Siba for the Yibum, would be Mutter B'Makim Yibum, now all of a sudden, because there's some external reason that's saying there's no Yibum, suddenly has nothing to be matter it. So b'memegla, you're left with an Eishes Ach. That Eishes Ach doesn't have the ability to pater it. So Reb Chaim told Reb Baruch Ber that being that the Eishes Ish is not able to pater it, what do you want? That being that the Eishes Ish never got the Heter Yibum, so now she should be an Eishes Ach Shaloi B'Makom Mitzvah, and let the Eishes Ach pater the Tzara. The Eishes Ach is Eishes Ach the Memelo. The Eishes Ach is not the Siba for why there's no Yibum. The Eishes Ach is just here B'Memelo as a result of the fact that there's no Yibum. And that type of Eishes Ach, that type of Erev, doesn't have the ability to pater the Tzara. And that's what Reb Chaim told Reb Baruch Ber, that it's for that reason Tosfos said that in the case of the Balas Tanai, that's what it's known as, the sugi of the Balas Tanai. But in the case of the Balas Tanai, the Tzara is going to be Mutter. Even if she's not a Tzara's Erva mitzad the Erva of Eishes Ish, shouldn't she be considered a Tzara's Erva mitzad the Erva of Eishes Ach? The Teretz is that the Eishes Ach doesn't have the ability to pater a Tzara, and the reason is because it's an Eishes Ach the Memela. One of the important cases of Yevamis, where there's no Yibam and Chalitza, is Chai Ve'Lavin and Chai Ve'Lavin Ve'Asin. So we've seen it a little bit, but you know, we just touched it. Really, it's a sugya coming up. It's a sugya on Daf Chav. The halach is that a Chai Ve'Lavin that falls in the Yibam is Chai Letzes V'Loi Mesiyab Emes. A Chai Ve'Lavin Ve'Asin that falls in the Yibam is also Chai Letzes V'Loi Mesiyab Emes. The Gemara asks, Akasha, Chai Ve'Lavin, why Chai Letzes V'Loi Mesiyab Emes? Why don't you say, Asei Doi Chaloi Sase? And the Gemara said, you're right. Zera beer rishoyna ought to be shnei. But at the end of the day, a chayvi lavin is chayletzes v'loy misabemes. Chayvi lavin v'essen is even more poshut. Why it's chayletzes v'loy misabemes? There's no aseid aicholoyis aseid when it comes to a chayvi lavin v'essen, and therefore the halach is chayletzes v'loy misabemes. In fact, the Gemara says there's an afkamino between a chayvi lavin and a chayvi lavin v'essen. Chayvi lavin is chayletzes v'loy misabemes, but the yevet, if the yavim does yibum, the halach is the yibum tzchal. In balu kanu, chayvi lavin v'essen, there's no yibum, it's chayletzes v'loy misabemes, and b'diyevet, if he does a yibum, it's not going to be chal, im balu loikanu. The Mishnah Lamelech, cleared a chakira. His chakira was, a chayvi lavin v'esen, where there's no yibum. Now is there no yibum, im balu loikanu, even b'diyevet, there's no yibum. Is, let's say the yavam was balel, is he over the Isra'i Shesach, or is he not over the Isra'i Shesach? This was the Mishnah Lamelech's Chakira. Would he be over the Isra or would he not be over the Isra? Do you say that at the end of the day she fell a Yibum? V'haraya, she needs Chalitza. So maybe the fact that she needs Chalitza, the quote-unquote Zikas Chalitza, is enough to say that there's going to be no Isra Shesach, or at the end of the day there's no Heter Yibum. So if there's no Heter Yibum, maybe there will be an Isra Shesach. This was the Mishnah Lamelech's Chakira. So Rav Shloim Haiman, in Chedusha Rav Shloim, in Simon Aleph, so he says that he saw a kasha, that somebody asked, that according to the Mishnah Lamelech Tzad, that every chayvi lavin ve'essen, being that there's no heter yibum, so there's going to be an isra ishazach, the heter ishazach of every yibum comes as a result of the fact that there's a mitzvah yibum. Or at the very least, as a result of the fact that b'di'evet the yibum is a yibum. But chayvi lavin ve'essen, where there's no mitzvah yibum. Not just that in balu loikonu. The halacha is that maybe there's an isra ishazach. So Shloim Haiman said, I saw Shaila. If that's the case, every tzaras chayvi lavin ve'essen should be a tzaras erva. Should be a tzaras erva. Shloim b'mok a mitzvah. Because if there's an isra ishazach, so it comes out, she's an Eshazach. If she's an Eshazach, so the Tzoras, Chayvi Lavin V'Essen, is the Chatzoras Eshazach. So if she's a Tzoras Eshazach, so why is there no halacha related to a Tzoras, Chayvi Lavin V'Essen? No one ever heard of a din regarding a Tzoras, Chayvi Lavin V'Essen. She's Mutter. Why is she Mutter? She's a Tzoras Erva. Which Erva? Eshazach. Where's the Eshazach? Because if there's no Heti Yibum, that means that was one sign of Mishnah Melech that there's going to be an Isra Eshazach. So let the Eshazach, Pat the Tzora. Zogin Dachroinim. It's an Eshesach to Memelo. It's true there's an Eshesach. Oh, but the reason there's no Yibum is not because of the Eshesach. The reason there's no Yibum is because she's an Amon of the Kohen Gadol. Because there's a Chayvi Lavin V'Essen. Because of the fact that there's no Yibum, b'Memelo, there's an Isra Eshesach. That Eshesach doesn't Reb Chaim's Yisoid. That Eshesach doesn't have the ability to pater the Tzara. This is the basic halacha of Eshesach to Memelo. So before we take it to the next step, we just have to speak out one thing. And that is, there's one, at first glance, tremendous ha'ara on Eshesach de Memela. And that is a Gemara that we learned yesterday. The Gemara related to the Tzaras Islandus. An Islandus, the halacha is, machloikis amayiroin, but Rav Asi said that an Islandus, just like she's potter from Yibam Mechalitza, that's not a machloikis amayiroin, that everybody agrees, bahoya b'chara ashatele prat la Islandus, the halacha is that her Tzara is going to be Yasser as well. And Rashi says, why would her Tzara be Yasser? The reason is because being that the Islandus is mufka from Yibam, so comes that she never had the Heter Eshazach. So if she never had the Heter Eshazach, so comes that her Tzara is going to end up being a Tzara's Islandus, it's going to end up being a Tzara's Eshazach shloi b'makom mitzvah, which is a Tzara's erva. So l'chura, what do you mean? That's an Eishas Ach Dememelo 101. What's the difference between the Tzoras Eishas Ach Shaloi B'Mokam Mitzvah of Tzoras Islandus versus the Tzoras Balas Tanai of Reb Chaim Toysus Yuvamas Daf Yudam and Aleph, or the Tzoras Chayvi Lavin V'Essen, Reb Shlomo Haiman's Kasha that he saw, he found in a Sefer on the side of the Mishnah Lamelech, that every Chayvi Lavin V'Essen has an Eishas Ach. If the word is that the only time an Erva has the ability to Pater Tzara is when the Erva is the Siba that there's no Yibum, but the Eishas Ach, which is the Erva that the Torah was Mater in Yibum, that Eishas Ach doesn't have the ability to Pater Tzara, so Maishna Tzoras Islandus. Why would Tzoras Islandus be any different? So that misses is a lot to talk about. Again, we're scratching the surface here. There's a lot to talk about. But just kedai to speak out one dover poshet adam oy. And that is from the Sefer Imre Moshe. The Imre Moshe was a Talmud Luvik of Reb Chaim. And the Imre Moshe in Simen Zayin, he starts off the Simen with Reb Chaim's Yisoid. Just listen to the first line. Kvar mefursim b'shem moiru v'rabi agoyin Reb Chaim Zatzal. The Yisoid of Eshazach de Memelo. And he has a whole Simen where he talks about Eshazach de Memelo. And in Siv Kotten Gimel, he asks this kasha, the Chayr Kasha, I Eishes Ach Menefila Rishoyna, Eina Poiteres Sarasa. So what's Pshan in the Mandama that holds? Saras Island is Petura. Al Karchach Mishum Eshazach Poiteres Sarasa. So if that's the case, how does it still with Reb Chaim Zisoyd of Eshazach to Memo? So the Memoche says a very posh to Mahalach. He says that Yesh Loimah, the emesis in the Gemara, it's Mavur, it was a Machlikas Amiran, where the Tsaras Island is Asura, Tsaras Island is Muteres. Rava said that Tsaras Island is Muteres. So he says, Yesh Loimah, Rava Taka held Tsaras Island is Muteres precisely because Eshazach to Memo. We pask in Tsaras Island is Muteres, not like Ravasi, like Rava. So the Fia MS, it's true, it works, Eshazach to Memo. Ravasi, then Rav Moshe, who was a Talmud Muvagar Rav Chaim, he held it's very hard to shtim Ravasi's Tsaras Island as Asura with Rav Chaim's Yusoy. Abi Kiyadua, the Achrayim and all the Rashivas have Mahalchim, but the bottom line is, it's a posh to Mahalach posh in case we can't go weiter without addressing Tsaras Islands, that's the territory of Tsaras Islands. And just to be clear, Tsaras Soita is not Shver, right? Why is Tsaras Soita not a Ishasachta Mamelo? Because they're the Soita is the Erva. She is the Erva. Tumak Sibakarai. Tsaras Machsig Rushasai. The Machsig Rushasai is the Erva. So you have to work through all the cases. But the one glaring one is going to be Tsaras Islandus. Islandus is not an Erva. It's an Eshazach, Shalai B'Makam Mitzvah. So I hear the easy way out, and again, it's from the Talmud Muvik, the grace of Talmud of Reb Chaim, Dimrei Moshe, is an Enochinami, Ravasi Takedin hold of Eshazach to Memelo. The whole Eshazach to Memelo is all in Rava, who argued with Ravasi, who held that Tsaras Islandus is Muteret. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we have Reb Chaim Zisoid, Reb Chaim Zisoid of Eshazach to Memelo. This is Ogin Dachroinim. It's Ogin Dachroinim. It's Lefiza Yeshloimar, a Yishuv Hagun. The Nochoin, the Kushis Reb Kiveger. Kiveger asked the Kasha, that why do I need Litzra to teach me Tzara Sara? Why do I need Rav Ashi Svara on Daf Yom Gimel Amud Aleph to teach me Balacha of Tzara Sara? L'chayre, every Tzara Sara is a Tzara Serva. Why is she a Tzara Serva? Because the Tzara Serva is doch an Ishas Achshaloi B'Makam Mitzvah. And if the Tzara Serva is an Ishas Achshaloi B'Makam Mitzvah, so the Tzara Tzara is the Chatzara's Erva. She's a Tzara of the Tzara's Erva. Meaning, if the Tzara's Erva doesn't have a Heter Yibum, then her Tzara can't even have a Heter B'Makam Yibum. Because once the Tzara's Erva doesn't have a Heter B'Makam Yibum, she has an Nisra Eshazach. And if she has an Nisra Eshazach, so by definition, her Tzara is going to end up being a Tzara's Erva. The Teretz is, it's an Eshazach to Memela. Because really, the Tzara's Erva would have a Heter Yibum mitzad the Isra Eshazach. It's just because she's a Tzaras Erva that she can have the Heter Yibum. So now that there's no Heter Yibum, you want to use the Eshazach that comes about by Memela and let that Pater Tzara al Zenemar Eshazach the Memela. And it's for that reason, say the Achroinim, that Lechayra Miken Zogin, Reb Chaim's Yisoid, Miyashiv Tzazayin, Reb Kivegas Kasha. But the emes is, it's not Pashat at all. It's not Pashat at all. This is going to take us just one step deeper in terms of getting into the lumdus a little bit, and we're going to stop it here. But just one little more. Atefach Echer. And that is, what was Reb Kiveges Kasha? Reb Kiveges Kasha was, why do I need a Pashat for Tzara Tzara? Typically, every Tzara Tzara is really a Tzara Tzara. So let's just visualize again the case of a Tzara Tzara, because it's very, very important, and certainly important understanding this nuance in lumdus. A Tzara Tzara is where there was Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven was married to two wives. One of them was a Tzara, one of them was an Ervet to Shimon, and the other one was not an Ervet to Shimon. Reuven died, he left over no children. Shimon and Levi now have a mitzvah of Yibum. Shimon can't do Yibum because one of Reuven's wives was an Ervet, the other wife is then a Tzara's Ervet. As a result, he has no mitzvah of Yibum. Levi, however, is allowed to do Yibum. Shimon's Erva Tzara Serva only affects Shimon. It doesn't affect the other brother, it doesn't affect Levi. So Levi went ahead and Levi did Yibum. He could have done Yibum with the Erva. He could have done it with the Tzara Serva. He chose to do it with the Tzara Serva. So Levi's now married to the original Tzara Serva. Levi had another wife. Levi died, he had no children. So that Levi's two wives now fall the Yibum to Shimon. The one wife is the wife that was a Tzara Serva from Reuven. And then the other wife was just Levi's wife. Al zen nemar, that Shimon can't do Yibum and doesn't even have an obligation to do Chalitza with the Tzara's Erva. Not just that, also with the other wife, because she's the Tzara of the Tzara's Erva. Tzara's Erva. Now, we spoke out, when we spoke about Kivegas Kashna, that really, it's a little bit of a chiddush, this whole idea of Tzara's Erva. The reason it's a little bit of a chiddush is because the Tzara's Erva was a Tzara's Erva in the Nefila Rishayna, when Reuven died. But now, when Levi died, she's not a Tzara's Erva anymore. Tzara's Erva, that was back then. What Shaykh is. Now she's still a Tzara's Erva. the Tzara Zareva. Where's she a Tzara Zareva? Reuven was married to Shimon Zareva and to this woman that made her into a Tzara Zareva. But Levi was never married to the Areva. So why does she retain her status of Tzara Zareva? The terrorist is because it's halacha called Nesra. The Gemara says that once the Yavama is Asa for Shah Achas Nesra Ilamas, she becomes Asa forever. So really, right now, Levi is married to the woman that was the Tzaras Erva to Shimon. And even though she's not a Tzaras Erva anymore, but still she's Asr to Shimon because she was a Tzaras Erva in the Nefila Rishayna. And she then became Asr. There was no Hetter for Eshesach. And once she's Asr Shoachas, she's Nesra Olamnes. So she still carries with her that Isr Eshesach. And it's for that reason now, in the Nefila Shniyah, there's mokim to say that the other wife is a tzaras, tzaras erva. If there was no halach of Nesra, then we're not having this conversation. Because you would say, okay, in the Nefila Rishayna, but that's bygones. The Teretz is Nesra. Once she became Aser in the Nefila Rishayna, so now in the Nefila Shniyah, she carries with her this Iser. And being that she carries with her this Iser, it's for that reason, her tzara is going to be a tzara tzara. So let me ask you a question. Kivei get a kasha. Why do I need a pasuk of tzaras tzaras? Tzaras, tzaras, tzara. L'chayra, tzaras, tzaras, erva. Throwing in a tzara. Why do I need a pasuk for tzaras, tzaras, erva? Tepik lay that every tzaras, tzaras, erva is really a tzaras, erva. Was Reb Kiva Eger's kasha that the tzaras, tzaras, erva should be a tzaras, erva, machmas, the iser eshes ach of the nefila shnia? Or was Reb Kiva Eger's kasha that the tzaras tzaras erva should be a tzaras erva machmas the isereshes ach of the neftila rishayna? L'chayra, Reb Kiva Eger's kasha was that even if you want to tell me that you can't dan the tzaras erva as a tzaras erva machmas the eshes ach in the neftila shniya, but still she's going to be a tzaras tzaras erva machmas the Isereshes Ach of the Nefila Rishayna. And if that's the case, it's Poshet she should be considered a Tzaras Erva, and Eshes Ach the Memela is not going to help me. What's Eshes Ach the Memela? Eshes Ach the Memela means Levi just died. Okay, left over two Yavamas. One Yavama is the original Tzaras Erva, and the other Yavama is just the Yavam. L'chayra, the original Tzaras Erva, should have had a Heter Yibam. She doesn't have a Heter Yibam because she's a Tzaras Erva. If that's the case, it triggers an Eshes Ach. If it triggers an Eshes Ach, let the Eshes Ach pater. That kasha, the Teretz is Poshet. That kasha is, it's Eshes Ach the Memela. The Isra Eshes Ach Yibam is really Mater. You want to tell me because Yibam can't be Mater it, so therefore that Eshes Ach Shapater the Tzara? Al Zeh Nemar. It's regarding that we say Eshes Ach the Memela. Das is Reb Chaim's Yisoid. That was never of Kivega's kasha. Kvega knew Reb Chaim's Yisoid. He knew Pshat and Toys for stuff. He knew the terrors that the kasha of Shlomo Hyman brings. He knew all the raid that comes from Eshes Ach the Memela. Kvega was asking something else. Kvega was asking that being that this woman was also Eshes Reuven, and Eshes Reuven is Oichet Eshes Achiv Shal Shimon, and when she was Eshes Reuven, there was never a heter to do Yibam v'chalitza, and there's a halacha called Nesra, so she maintains her halacha of being an Eshes Ach of Reuven. The Eshes Ach of Reuven is not an Eshes Ach de Memela. The Eshes Ach of Levi is Eshes Ach de Memela. Oh, but the Eshes Ach of Reuven is not Eshes Ach de Memela. What's Eshes Ach de Memela? The Eshes Ach that this Yibam could be matter can't pater a tzara. Kvega knows that. He doesn't want that Eshes Ach to pater the tzara. Reb Kvega's taina is, let the Eshes Ach of Reuven pater the tzara. That Eshes Ach of Reuven, this Yibam can't be matter. When Levi dies, Levi's Misa is matter, Levi's Eshes Ach. But it can't be matter, Reuven's Eshes Ach. And this Yavama had an Afila Rishayna. That's how she became a Tzara Serva. And in the Afila Rishayna, she never had a Heter Eshes Ach. And it's Nesra Olama, so she's walking around with this Isra Eshes Ach. So when this woman falls the Yibam right now to Shimon, she's an Eshes Ach times two. She's an Eshes Ach mitzad the Eshes Reuven, she's an Eshes Ach mitzad Eshes Levi. Now you can tell me, who cares? Why does that matter? You know why it matters? Because Eshes Ach of Levi is Eshes Ach to Memela. That can't pater a Tzara.
Aber Eishasach of Ruvain is nit Eishasach de Memela. And that Eishasach would be able to pat the Tzara. So if that's the case, Zog Rav Shmuel Yankiv, and Zoy Sli Yankiv, and Zog and Andre Gedoyli Achroinim, that it's poshit why Rav Kiv Eger didn't simply say Eishasach de Memela. Kiv Eger knew the Yisoyed of Eishasach de Memela. But Rav Kiv Eger held Eishasach de Memela is only going to help me for the current Eishasach. The Eishasach that this Yibum is supposed to be matter, which it can't be matter because of some reason. And as a result, bin Memela have an Isra Eishasach, that Eishasach can't patter a Tzar. That's the Aloch of Eishasach de Memela. And Rav Kiv Eger was never asking that let the Isra Eishasach of Eishas Levi patter a Tzar, even though it's there. But he knows that's not a kasha, because Rav Kiv Eger knew Eishasach de Memela. Kiv Eger's kasha was that you also have Eishas Ruvain, because where did that Isra Eishasach go? The only thing that could have been matter was Yibum, and Yibum was never matterit. And because Yibum was never matterit, so that Isra Eishasach is still there. That Isra Eishasach is coming from a free dig in the suin. That Isra Eishasach, this Yibum was never matter. That's a regular Isra Eishasach. It's a prosta erev, like any other erev in the world. And if that's the case, Rav Kiv Eger, let that erev be matter. Pasha, that was Rabbi Kivega's kasha. Kivega's kasha was never Eishas Levi should be matter. Rabbi Kivega's kasha was that Eishas Ruvain should be matter. And if it's Eishas Ruvain, Eishas Achta Memela is not going to help you. So what do the Lamdim say? So the Lamdim start saying that it could be that being that there's a shaychis between Eishas Ruvain and Eishas Levi, there's some continuation of the original marriage. So if in Eishas Levi it's Eishas Achta Memela, then in Eishas Ruvain it also has to be Eishas Achta Memela. This is already some super duper Lamdis, and we will stop here.